Democrats and Republicans made their choices yesterday in Michigan's presidential primaries. As expected, Donald Trump led the way among Michigan Republicans. Democrats in Michigan provided the big story of the night, though, with Senator Bernie Sanders winning a small but significant and surprising win over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Michigan. What factors led to these results and what happens next around the country? To begin our show today, we want to figure out these results. And to do that, we have a couple of Michigan's top political reporters. Inside Michigan Politics publisher Susan Demas is with us again. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And we'll also be talking in a moment with Jonathan Osting of the Detroit News. So, Susan, let's start with you. We want to talk, first of all, I want to mention something about the elections yesterday before we run out of time and get sidetracked by the presidential politics by noting that the school millage proposals in both Holt and Charlotte were approved yesterday. Now, the polls seemed to show the race between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in Michigan to be narrowing in the days and weeks leading up to the primary. How did Sanders close the deal yesterday?
That's an excellent question, and it's one that all of us are looking at today, just pouring through exit poll data. But, you know, I think that it's clear that Clinton took the state for granted. She did a last-minute blitz, but she was relying way too much on cities like Flint and Detroit to put her over the top. If you look at the map, it's stunning where Sanders won. He wins in all the traditional Republican areas, West Michigan, Northern Michigan, Southwest Michigan. And he did much better with African-American voters than he did down south. He won about 30%. Plus, the kids showed up. College students showed up. 18 to 29-year-old voters showed up, and they went big for Bernie Sanders.
It was interesting. I don't know how typical my personal Facebook page is or my Twitter feed is, but I was really swamped with Bernie Sanders stuff over the last couple, 3 days. They really worked social media heavily in the last week or so.
Yeah, they're calling it face banking, which may become a thing. Another thing that you saw are a lot of social media ads actually by Republican super PACs taking aim at Hillary Clinton's credibility and calling her a closet Republican. And those were shared very much by Bernie Sanders supporters.
One of the things that Sanders emphasized was issues related to trade. And on the surface, it sounded to some observers to be the sort of thing that people would go ho-hum over, really? That's the issue you're pushing? But it seemed to really have an impact in Michigan.
It did. If you look at the exit polling, that was a big help to Bernie Sanders. Overall, Clinton won on the economy just barely, but I think trade was a bigger issue than people expected.
And the notion that Sanders had voted against the auto company bailout, I wonder if there was some backlash to that when it turns out that he had not voted against the auto bailout.
Well, I think his issue initially was he did not seem prepared for the question. He kept trying to pivot back to Wall Street. And I thought that he did not look very good in the debate. It's an open question how much of an impact that had because the exit polls did not ask about it.
I'm being told there's a chance we won't reach Jonathan Osting. We're having some phone issues. So it could be you and me solo here, okay?
Well, I'm sorry about that.
We'll miss Jonathan if that's the way it works out, but we'll carry on. What does this mean to the delegate count from Michigan? With her win in Mississippi, we should include that too. Clinton actually claimed more delegates yesterday.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from Bernie Sanders' stunning upset, but these nominations are determined by delegates, and Clinton is still ahead. And we're not even talking about superdelegates. We're talking about the pledged delegates. And, you know, with a close win in Michigan, they came out of here pretty similar in the delegate count. How Bernie Sanders gains traction is if he turns this Michigan win into an Ohio win and into those big states, and he proves himself to be a top contender.
Congresswoman Debbie Dingell is a Clinton supporter. Let's hear what she had to say last night.
I always thought the numbers were going to be tighter than any polls showed. I'm happy to see that we've got two substantive candidates that have engaged people and have really increased voter turnout.
Now, as a member of Congress, Debbie Dingell is one of those superdelegates that we keep hearing about. What do you think superdelegates in the Democratic Party are starting to think as they see this tide that Bernie Sanders is riding right now?
Well, what we saw in 2008 was when Barack Obama started to overtake Hillary Clinton, you saw superdelegates that had been on the Clinton side flip. And so if Sanders can build on this, and if he can win the pledged delegates, I don't think for a second that superdelegates are going to say, nope, we're sticking with Clinton, we're going to take it away from you.
Well, I've been thinking about the Republican convention and how people are wondering about how that could be a brokered convention and what that might mean to the party. Is it possible that the Democrats could see, if not a brokered convention, similar turmoil over what the superdelegates will do and whether superdelegates might give the nomination to Hillary Clinton, even though she perhaps won fewer of the regular delegates or won fewer popular votes in the primary season? Is that possible?
It's possible. Right now, I would still say that Hillary Clinton has a good chance of being the nominee. I think she is still the favorite. But let's wait and see what happens next week with those big states like Ohio. If Bernie Sanders really gains traction, it's a whole other ballgame.
Now, you said earlier that Hillary Clinton maybe took Michigan for granted a little bit. I was going to ask you if you thought there was anything else in particular that she could have done better to produce a better result in Michigan.
Well, I think it's rather clear that she should have been going to different areas of the state. You know, I think that voters would have liked to have seen more of her in the less populated areas. You know, she could have gone up north. That would have said that she was making a play for those voters. I mean, in some of those northern Michigan counties, Sanders put up 60%.
He went to Traverse City, right? Was it Traverse City or Cadillac that he went to?
Well,
Traverse City, I think he went to.
Yeah, I'd have to look. Yeah. It's all a blur. I know that Trump was in Canada.
For me, too. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to continue on by looking at the GOP side of things yesterday with Susan Demas, the publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. We're looking at the results of the Michigan primary yesterday. Donald Trump beat Ted Cruz and John Kasich. They were pretty close to each other for second place. His margin was about 11 points in Michigan. Talk about his strategy in Michigan and how you think this played out in his favor.
Yeah, I think that Donald Trump, you know, was leading in the polls and it came out pretty similar. He won by about 11. But John Kasich did close on Election Day, and I think he actually came out a little bit ahead of Donald Trump. I think that you saw Marco Rubio fade. He was much stronger with the absentee voters. But, you know, for some reason, when we're discussing the GOP side, we always leave Ted Cruz out. And he did come in second. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, very close. And so the delegates are going to be close as well. But he has the most delegates after Trump, the most states won. He's clearly the Trump alternative. The problem is that the establishment maybe likes him even less than Donald Trump.
Trump seemed to really push in Michigan just over the last few days. I didn't see a Trump TV ad until the last few days, but then I saw a lot of Trump TV ads. And he came to Michigan for a couple of appearances, too. So it would seem that if you're a Donald Trump supporter, that he handled Michigan very, very well, that he did what it took to produce the result he had hoped for.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that he was strong in Southeast Michigan. You know, he held his own. Ted Cruz was strong in Western Michigan, but not strong enough. John Kasich put up a fight in Oakland County, but still lost. I just think that Donald Trump's overall anti-establishment message, being very angry, appealing to people who are anti-immigration, very concerned about world events, the war on terror, I think it was all very effective here. Plus, he talks about manufacturing. Bernie Sanders doesn't have the monopoly. He's reaching those blue-collar voters.
Now, John Kasich, kind of unusually maybe, campaigned in Michigan on the primary election day. He was in Lansing yesterday. He might have worked Michigan harder than any of the Republicans. I wonder if you think there was a payoff in that. Let's start, though, by hearing a little bit of the audio from what he had to say yesterday in Lansing.
A great finish here in this state, a great result in this state that is going to send a message across the country, and frankly, I believe across the world, that it's a new day in this presidential campaign.
Is it really a new day in this presidential campaign, Susan?
It would have been if he won the state.
Right.
and coming in third is a blow. No matter how narrow the margin, he needed the psychological bump of coming in second. Now, he still looks favored to win next week in his home state of Ohio, but that may be his only win. We'll have to see. But certainly it did pay off for him to campaign, and he did work harder than anybody else. He went up to the Upper Peninsula, and I think voters did appreciate that.
You know, when you think about the top challengers to Donald Trump, what I thought might happen, and it could still play out this way, was Kasich winning Ohio, Cruz winning Texas, Rubio winning Florida, and the anti-Trump vote, so to speak, splitting up amongst those three states, and the total impact being Trump remaining in the lead, that there is no one top challenger to try to overcome him. And it might play out that way.
It could. Actually, though, Florida is looking very dubious for Rubio. Cruz is making a strong play there. But if you look at the polling, and all of us who looked at the polling on the Democratic side in Michigan, they're now very hesitant to do so. Rubio seems to have faded very fast, even back home. And that should just knock him out. If he can't win Florida, that should probably be it.
Cruz didn't really campaign much in Michigan, and I don't remember seeing any TV ads in Michigan either.
Did
I miss that?
There were a few.
Okay.
But Ted Cruz did show up at the last minute in West Michigan. That was, totally last minute stop. What he relied on was his ground game, which was very strong, and that's the unsexy stuff that you don't see. But he had, 400 field volunteers out there starting last year. They were really working the evangelical vote, and that put him over the top to put him into second.
We're talking with Susan Demas of Inside Michigan Politics about yesterday's Republican and Democratic primaries in the state of Michigan. Susan, what do you think we can suss out from the voter turnout yesterday for both parties? I understand the total turnout was bigger than it's been in decades for a presidential primary in Michigan. Now, some years there's only really a contested race in one party or the other. That's a factor. But we had a pretty strong turnout yesterday.
If you are a democracy nerd, that was great news. I mean, whoever you voted for, to see that turnout, because time and time again, you see a projection from the Secretary of State and we fall short. And then you get the wave of depressing stories about nobody cares and this is the precinct where only two people showed. There were precincts that were running out of ballots. That's a great sign. People are engaged. I mean, you saw, I think, 3/4 of a general election presidential turnout yesterday. That's phenomenal.
You mentioned some places running out of ballots. They had to photocopy ballots in some places, I understand, and that led to having to hand count them, and that led to the late result tally in a lot of places, right?
Yeah, it's always a fun night to be an election worker, but last night seemed to have a lot of challenges.
Is it too early to suss out any information about the demographics of who voted and where the geography, voting by gender, voting by race? Do we have breakdowns on that stuff yet?
We do have exit polling, which, obviously is not 100% accurate. Obviously,
right.
Polling isn't
right,
either.
Right, right.
But yeah, we do have a sense. And, on the Democratic side, Clinton didn't get the boost from women that she needed. She did win them narrowly. But you saw a more heavily male Democratic turnout, which is very unusual. And then, we talked about earlier, African Americans, Bernie Sanders was able to get 30%. That's huge for him. If he can build on that in particular in some bigger states like Pennsylvania or Ohio or New York, that could turn things around.
One last really quick question, or maybe not even a question, but to point out that Republicans held the state House seats that were formerly held by Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat. Not unexpected yesterday. What do we know about Gary Howell and Mary Whiteford? Are they going to be similar to their predecessors politically?
Well, they're Republicans, so there's the similarity there. I think they both describe themselves as conservatives, but they're not flamethrowers. They're much more establishment. I think that Governor Snyder must have breathed a heavy sigh of relief of who he'll be working with now.
We've been talking with Inside Michigan Politics publisher Susan Demas about the results of yesterday's Democratic and Republican presidential primaries in Michigan. Susan, thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you.